When you're focused on self-improvement from a self-accepting lens, that same gap, which is still there, you still see a gap between where you are and where you want to be. It no longer represents evidence of inadequacy. Now it represents something I'm really excited to achieve.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Laura Gallagher. Some call her Dr. Laura, but we're going to be, because we're friends and we're comfortable like that. Also, there may be a British accent later in the episode, so stay tuned. That's called a teaser for some of you. She is the CEO, co-founder, professional speaker, organizational psychologist, and executive coach at Gallagher Edge. She is inspired by driven self-starters to transform their relationship with themselves and accomplish more than ever, which sounds really interesting, so hang tight. She combines insights on radical self-acceptance with humor, which she studied, which I didn't know you could do, to create a unique connection with her audience. Her notable achievements include being hired by NASA to reshape organizational culture. God knows they need it. After the Columbia accident, leading significant changes in performance management at Disney and inspiring Yahoo's global teams to pursue transformation from within. She also wrote a super cool book, which I have right here. And it's awesome. It's got words. So go and check that out. But welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you for tricking me on coming to your show, Kenny.
You are welcome. I studied it in college. I have my master's in manipulation. So
it's well done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm moving offices. So my degree in that isn't behind me.
I gotcha. So I gotcha. Makes sense.
I'll work on that. You just imagine it's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can picture the graduation cap.
Yes, that would be awesome if I just rotated caps every episode. Just like, what's he got going? I used to have
hats
some really
definitely
cool
be in fashion.
Ones.
They should be in fashion. I don't know why we stopped wearing hats. They're amazing.
Yeah, you could go classic fedora. I had one of those that was like Bill Murray in Space Jam. It was an umbrella hat.
Oh, that's adorable.
I also had the like little beanie, like was it Spanky on Little Rascals? And I had the little spinner on the top.
That's what I thought of when you said the umbrella. Like I totally pictured the spinner cap on you first. And then I had to like switch it in my mind to the umbrella.
Yeah, so. I don't think the umbrella spun, but that would have been a nice flare.
Yeah, that's like the Seinfeld episode, right? Of using the umbrella to like captivate. There was something with that.
There was, yeah.
I don't know.
Something
not Friends.
There. Not, yeah. I mean, there was an umbrella in the front, but let's not get stuck in second gear. Oh, get it? Because not that's a Friends, the theme song, Rembrandt's. I'll be.
Hey, oh, I'm a little slow.
Sometimes
that's on
you
me,
feel
Kenny.
Like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your week, your month, or even your year.
Very well done.
This is all very important stuff. And I think leaders are growing by the second with this episode so far. So let's transition into lighter topics. Tell me, Laura, what is on your mind?
I've been doing a lot lately with people on this fantastic concept called self-acceptance. So that's on my mind frequently.
Gotcha. And not just self-acceptance, but as I read in your awesome bio, radical self-acceptance.
Yeah, so. I wish it wasn't radical. Like, I don't want it to be, but it is.
Okay. So what is the current thinking around self-acceptance that makes what you're doing radical?
The current thinking that's held by the majority of people, and especially the majority of high achievers, is that self-acceptance isn't something that you would want. The fear that high achievers have is that self-acceptance means that you would become complacent. Like when they're introduced to the idea, they're like, wait a second, you want me to accept myself? But then... I won't grow. I won't get better or improve. Have you heard that sentiment before?
Yeah, frequently inside of my own noggin.
Okay.
So conflating complacency with self-acceptance.
Yeah.
I forgot. I think it was either a book or a podcast that was talking about the difference between complacency and contentment as it relates to growth. Is that something that you've thought about or encountered with? Like, how can we accept ourselves but still have a growth mindset? Because sometimes wanting to grow usually comes with a dissatisfaction with current state of things, or you think that there's there could be more. There's a better way to do it or more that you could do.
Yeah. Yeah. So the work that I do is I actually always begin with helping people understand that self-acceptance and self-improvement are not opposites. Mm-hmm. Because that's the initial fear, right? So you think of them as like being opposite ends of the continuum. Mm-hmm. But this is where paradox theory becomes super important, because self-acceptance and self-improvement coexist. The opposite mm-hmm. of self-acceptance isn't self-improvement. The opposite of self-acceptance is self-judgment.
Not self-rejection?
It could be.
I mean, because you could judge yourself
yep.
accordingly, but you could also reject. You could judge mm-hmm. and not reject. I would think.
What does self-rejection mean to you? Like, that's a cool term. It's not one that I use, but like, what does it mean in your
mind? I'm coining it right now. I've got a patent file. Yeah, I've got lawyers on retainer. TM. Yeah, TM. I'm just going to start slapping that on
self-rejection.
Random.
Self-rejection.
Anyway. Yeah, that's my contribution to the world and literature. No, it would be, I think it would be, you could judge yourself. And for me, judgment is just like rendering an opinion of like, according to some sort of standard of measurement, you have found your performance for yourself to be at some particular level. That's judgment. And your judgment could be, hey, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I think rejection is like not good enough, never good enough. I think if you live in a place of self-rejection, then it's, I could have closed one more deal. I could have grown by 1% this year. I could have given one more speech or been in one more article, done one more podcast. I don't know.
See, okay. So I like your definition of this. And I agree that like there is judgment, meaning discernment,
mm-hmm.
right? The ability to evaluate something based on a set of criteria. And perhaps right. I could say it is neither good nor bad, but this is what I've discerned it to be. Mm-hmm. Your definition of self-rejection is what I mean when I talk about self-judgment, which is that like I am judging myself, I'm looking down on it. And I would actually say that if you're in self-judgment or self-rejection, then you're not even using the language of could, it's should. It's not I could have closed one more deal, it's I should have closed one more deal. I should have been on one more podcast. Mm-hmm. I should have grown revenue by more. It's the shoulding all over ourselves. That is the, right, that self-rejection, not self-judgment. Yeah. And so, like, so many high achievers have grown up with fear and scarcity and that sentiment of, like, never enough, not enough, never enough, as mm-hmm. one of their biggest drivers to grow and improve. And so they become very attached to their inner critic, and they think that they need it in order to continue to grow.
Is this, the idea that humans are, was it avoidant? Mm-hmm. Is that... In this case, if you are in a state of self-judgment, high achiever, it sounds like they would have been avoiding the pain of failure as opposed to pursuing the pleasure of succeeding.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Exactly. Exactly. And so like the first step almost always in my work is helping high achievers recognize that you can focus on self-improvement from a self-judging lens, or... you can focus on self-improvement from a self-accepting lens.
Interesting. Gotcha. So
that's what you're describing with that.
You get to hold on to the self-improvement.
Yes.
It's not telling.
It's not going anywhere.
Because to be honest, when you hear self-acceptance, the other term, which I think is probably overused, self-care, and that those things, they tend to come with... sometimes an explicit definition. Sometimes I feel like it's just an implicit meaning of like abandoning growth or improvement. Mm-hmm. But what I hear you saying is, no, we can hold on to that, but the lens by which we view it through is going to change our maybe our performance overall, the actual end result, because it's tough to tell a high achiever like stop achieving. Break them of that, because that feels
like... And I don't
like,
want to do that.
You mean you want me to stop living? Like, that's
right.
That's essentially, that sounds dramatic, but...
No, I think that's a lot of the mentality, though. It's like, what's the point then?
Right. And I say this as somebody who, and I know we'll get into my assessment results and break down why I should probably be in the loony bin, but the thing I've struggled with, because I care about mental health. I've got my degree in psychology. I think I didn't take it quite as far as you, but like I love thinking about how humans work. And now that informs a lot of my own work in coaching. Like people always try to tell me, it's like our nonprofit or our business is different. I was like, yeah, you're special just like everyone else. I was like, do you have humans in your organization? And they're like, yes. And I was like, okay, then what I do works, because I like to focus on frameworks and things that deal with that. But for me, I was like, oh, like I have been really achievement oriented, self-improvement oriented, but it has been largely with, I'm more afraid of failure than I am excited by the thought of achieving, which I think in the results I got, it says like, you may hit success. And it was even one of the questions was worded like this, is like, if you achieve success, do you celebrate? And I'm like, no, like winning is expected. Doing well is expected.
Just start with perfect and get better from there.
Get it.
I feel so seen.
I do. I feel seen. But it's been tough over the last few years. I've tried to be more open-minded to hear how I'm going about things, because there are some downsides to being driven by fear and perfectionism and all of those things, not just to myself, but I was really motivated when I saw how it was impacting my relationship with my wife, with my kids, with friends. Again, going back to your results, one part that really got me was you probably feel let down by everyone around you. And I was like, yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. If they could only be as awesome as me, the world would be better. So
no, I totally get that.
So I've really have wrestled with like, I need to do some self-care and invest in myself. And then other times it feels like, yeah, but there's stuff to do. There's like, I've got big goals and a big purpose, and it's worth pursuing. So reconciling those two has really been something difficult for me to say, I need to be content. As somebody said once, I was doing some work and they said, you just seem more comfortable in your own skin. And is that a good picture of what self-acceptance means in the work that you're doing and what you hope for those that you work with?
Absolutely. Yeah. Being comfortable with who you are right now, which means all of your flaws and imperfections and your talents and strengths, that is self-acceptance. Being okay with who you are right now. And it's so separate from self-improvement. In fact, there's this quote that I love from Dr. Robert Holden that says, there is no amount of self-improvement that ever makes up for a lack of self-acceptance.
Dang.
Yeah. Because that's the fallacy. That's the like chasing the milestone. It's the lie that high achievers tell themselves every day. That's like, I just need to hit this. Once I have this. But then as soon as you hit that goal, you hit that milestone, you achieve that thing, you still have your next big goal. And you're focused on that gap. But the gap isn't the problem, Kenny. Mm-hmm. Like, I want high achievers to still have a gap. Like, please continue to develop and make this world a better place. Keep that gap. But what is the story that you tell yourself about what that gap means? If you're in the self-judging lens, then that gap, the story in your head is, this represents evidence of my inadequacy.
It's ascribing value based on the gap is ascribing value, not an opportunity for furthering a worthwhile cause or endeavor.
Yeah, because when you're focused on self-improvement from a self-accepting lens, that same gap, which is still there, you still see a gap between where you are and where you want to be. It no longer represents evidence of inadequacy. Now it represents something I'm really excited to achieve.
Gotcha. Yeah, like that could be for high achievers or leaders. A lot of them, they have vision, right? Most entrepreneurs, people, they see something that isn't there. Sounds like a recipe for madness, but they see something that isn't there. They see the future faster than the rest of us. And then they seek to go about building it.
Yes.
Right. And so they see the gap between this future state that they envision and where they are now. But they could approach that with, this doesn't tell me how valuable I am as a person.
Right.
This is something I'm doing, and I'm passionately motivated or purpose filled and pushing towards.
Yes. I'm also, I noticed, a little thrown off by your use of the rest of us. Like, you're not putting yourself in the high achiever bucket.
Oh. Yeah, I'm real low achieving.
Yeah, you
start
that way.
I'm just a simple man with simple dreams. I want to walk barefoot in the grass and just go slowly through life.
Well, it's really good that you're talking to me then, because I have a very different way of approaching growth.
Yes, and quite.
Quite.
Yes.
I learned something interesting about that. So because I have British friends, and when I say quite, like, I'm like, it's quite good. When you say that, Kenny, if you say like, oh, it's quite good, is that better than or worse than good? Like, good versus quite good. What's better? What's worse?
I think it's marginally better than good. It's a step up.
So that's how I use it. That's not how they use it. I blew my mind. I was like, hold the phone. I've been using quite wrong.
They say it quite wrong.
They say it like, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm like, you're kidding me.
Like the way we would say not bad. Doesn't mean it's good, but it's just not bad. So quite good equals.
Yeah. So I learned that, and I'm sharing that valuable British wisdom with your listeners today.
This is an international podcast. So
they can
have
tell
many,
me if I'm wrong.
We have many countries.
3 to 5 British people. So
I think that's all you need for an adequate sample size.
To represent the whole island. You got it.
Yeah, I think any internal review board would approve that study with that sample size.
It's
a
good representation. They're very smart. They sounded so smart. So I think that
it felt like more. Yeah, there was only 5 of them, but it felt the weight of what
authority.
They had to share felt
yep.
five. There's a 5x value. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. And watch this segue is let's crack on. And I had a client, and she would say that. I was like, let's what? What are we doing? And she's like, let's be cracking on. And I was like, I don't know, ma'am. Like, I don't do drugs. I don't know what's acceptable in your country. But so then that became a joke. And then she would attempt to use a Texas accent.
That's fun.
Yeah. That's so it was a British woman using a Texas accent saying,
I would love to hear you try that one, Kenny. Can you do the British accent trying to be
look,
Texan?
I ask the questions here.
You're right.
A British country. Yeah. I've tried British speaking Spanish. That's fun.
Oh, I've never tried that. So that's
the real takeaway that I want everyone to have. How do we ground this in practical application? Speak Spanish with a British accent.
Just give it a try and don't judge yourself.
Yeah. It's a self-acceptance exercise.
We did it.
Something you said made me think of a book. I think it came out last year, year before last, but Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, The Gap in the Game.
Gap in the Game. Yep.
That was a real game changer for me. But a lot of what you're saying is reminding me of that, to where he says, like, the gap, if we're trying to achieve or move forward with something, let's look at the gap. But when we measure success, we need to look backwards. And because, like, it's the distance, like where somebody is. And I think that this is really helpful, especially when we think of just not just self-acceptance, but others' acceptance. It's like somebody has done something less. Well, where did they start? Like where they came from may have been like a great distance, but it may have been like 2 steps for you. So you can't look down on what somebody else has achieved relative to your own success, because they started at a different place.
For sure. And there's just a lot of power in that practice and that process of reflecting. My dog agrees vehemently. So sorry for that.
Does your dog accept itself?
I don't know. She's spastic. So I feel like that energy does not necessarily lend itself well to acceptance. It's a frantic need to protect the household as my 10-pound dog. She's on it.
That sounds scary.
She's very scary. But yes, apologies for that distraction. Oh, yeah. Okay, so stopping and reflecting. This is actually a very practical way to practice self-acceptance, is to look back and let yourself feel good about your progress. And this part's important. Even if, or maybe especially if, you haven't yet hit your goal. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't
understand 7 out of the 10 words you just said.
What are you saying? Let me give you an example. So like 10-ish years ago, I decided I was going to be a runner. I was like, I'm going to run. Yeah. I see how you feel about that.
Just do it.
I hadn't really run since I was like playing high school tennis and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to go run 3 miles. Like, people do that. People run 3 miles. And I went out in my neighborhood and I was at about three quarters of a mile. And I was looping back around to where my house was, right, on this loop. And I am wheezing. I am cramping. My legs are on fire. And I have this choice to try to push to hit the 3 miles like I said I was going to do, or like go home and self-care. And I went home. I was like, I feel like I'm dying. I'm sure I wasn't, but I felt like I was. And like the self-judging version of me would have been so hard on myself for that. Like the inner monologue of, the, oh my God, you were going to 3 miles, Laura? You didn't even make it 1 mile. Are you serious? It was so embarrassing. Like, what? Jeez. It was off, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Flip that narrative and say, you know what? I want to take credit for the fact that I ran 0.8 miles today, because it's 0.8 miles more than I ran yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that actually enabled me to get out there and do it again. And I was actually running 5 miles within about 5 weeks.
Wow.
And if I had beat myself up for it, I might have actually decided, like, this is just not for me. Like, that inner critic and that self-judgment can actually take high achievers off of a path of something that's very possible for them, because they decide, I'm not amazing at it immediately, so never mind. And that practice of taking credit is the simplest thing that anybody can do literally every day as a self-acceptance practice. And there's nothing too small to take credit for. Like, find something literally every day to take credit for.
You're challenging my entire worldview.
That's what I'm here to do.
Hope you will pay for my therapy. But no, I want to see how that plays out with my wife. I'm going to take credit for every small thing. Like, see this? I could have done nothing.
This is for you, Kenny.
It's an intervention.
Let's frame this as being for you and not so much maybe for your wife. This, but you know what?
Safe
have your
space.
Wife take credit too. You guys can each find something to take credit for each day. Can hold each other accountable.
I feel like she's doing a good job of that. So
good for her. Yeah. This isn't stealing credit. This is not stealing credit. Oh. It's just like in the book, Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, who's actually a friend of mine, a fellow organizational psychologist.
Yes.
Lives here in Orlando.
What?
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
I know,
he's amazing. We did like our TEDx talks like back to back on the same stage. It was really fun.
So cool.
Yeah, he's super cool. And they talk about in that book that Dan in particular would be meeting with these entrepreneurs and he would ask them like, what have you achieved since we last met? And they were just filled with negativity. Nothing. We've accomplished nothing. Like, they were just so hard on themselves. And he's like, that can't possibly be true. And he realized that this was a horrible mindset that so many high achievers have and entrepreneurs have, that if they are not crushing it every day and always like passing the goals that they set, that they don't feel good about anything they've accomplished, even though they've accomplished so much. And so there's brain chemistry associated with letting yourself feel good about the progress that you've made. And it totally changes the relationships that you have with other people. When you can like acknowledge yourself, you're more likely to acknowledge them as well. And it's going to keep you on that path. You're less likely to give up. So it does so many wonderful things for your ability to actually achieve even more.
Damn,
wheels
that was
are
good. Yeah. What it made me think of immediately is just how I interact with my kids. I've been a high achiever for just like, just perform for as long as I can remember. And some of like what your results, I'm pointing over here. Nobody see what I'm talking about. If you look vaguely to your right, and everybody, it's going to be on the right. I promise you, you look over there. If you see another car, it's in their car. But I remember I got my first B in like the fifth grade and it was like an 89. And how uncomfortable that car ride home was. And so I was like, not doing that again. Mm. And I don't know if I did. I probably did. I got one or two. But it got to where, what can I do? What's the hardest thing I can do and crush it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how could I take on multiple things that would crush a person with one of them and try to do those? And so I look back and I'm like, I don't, talking to myself, I would say I haven't done much. If somebody tries to bow up to me or something like that, then I'm like, yeah, no, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And then we'll have a, like a resume off, and that's really unhealthy. I've gotten to where I don't say all that out loud now, thankfully.
It's good.
But I have seen how I've, like, my kids are awesome. I love my kids. Sometimes they, a lot of times they frustrate me because they say and do stupid things, but they're children. So that's to be expected. And a couple of them are teenagers. And so I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's like Batman said, it's like darkest before the dawn or something.
I've heard that's a saying.
Yeah. So it's like raising the Joker times five. But, and that's not a multiplier. That's because I have five children. But okay, there you go. We're tracking. But it just makes me think, I've gone most of my life thinking, like, do more, do more, do more, do more, do more. And so when my kids are actually doing fairly well, in my head, average is failure. Like, whatever average is failure. And I, and in probably more than one way, I've communicated that. Like, if they're not winning, I've probably made comments, like, even on something small, like playing in a video game or something like that. Like, oh, you did this well? Why aren't you up here? What are you doing here? Now, I feel like I've gotten better. We could bring my wife in here to give the honest answer on whether or not that's true. But that is so interesting how that relates and how that ends up manifesting. So again, thank you for this small aneurysm that I will live with for the rest of the afternoon.
But even right now, though, like, it gets so mad at this practice of acceptance is magic, because you can insert it at any point. And I know you're just joking around to some degree, and there's probably some truth in your humor. There often is, which is what makes it funny. But, like, instead of it being this aneurysm or like, oh my God, am I now judging myself about how much I've been judging myself?
That's exactly what I'm doing. I was like, wow, I've got to do, in my head, of like, I've got to do a better job of being a dad.
Okay. And
here's the gap.
Yeah. But you
Dr. Laura gave me a new gap that
here's something
will
else
now
to judge myself
my
for.
Life.
You're welcome. Yeah,
thank you.
But, like, okay, but no, but that story about you getting like the 89, that's from you when you were a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fifth. So that recollection and your ability to connect how you are today to that moment and that feeling is where I want you to find self-compassion. Like,
is
of
that
course
like,
you're
like
so,
now or going back? Because again, this may be some therapy, which I've had on numerous occasions. Everybody should. It's great.
I agree.
But some of it was like going back and accepting, like, because I, and this sort of topic did come up with my therapist about like how hard I was on my younger self, and some of what I've built in my personality or whatever today is a result of me despising weakness and my younger self. And part of the process was going back and looking at like, hey, let's go and let's look at 8-year-old Kenny. Like, can you forgive him for being an 8-year-old? And I was like, when you put it that way, you make me sound like an ass, but okay.
So look at that. Look at that. Like,
very
good. But you're so ready to judge yourself for it. And then, do you know the author Mark Manson, who wrote the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F? Yes.
Yeah.
So he describes this as the feedback loop from hell, where somebody can be feeling anxious and then they start to feel anxious about the fact that they're anxious. Or in this case, you notice that you're judging yourself. And then you're judging yourself for judging yourself. And so I just pointed out, because pattern disruption is really powerful. And you can do that by simply practicing acceptance of wherever you are. Like, okay, so the part of you that wants to be an amazing dad is noticing this gap and has some degree of negative emotion about this realization. Ah, I can practice acceptance around the fact that that was my initial reaction. You can insert it anywhere into the whole process.
I could give myself credit for noticing it.
Absolutely. Yes.
There.
That's a wonderful thing.
Let's end the conversation on a positive note.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
We did it.
We did it. We're here. Thank you so much for sticking around. Gotcha. No, feedback loop from hell is a great term. And so often I find myself there. Or as a mentor of mine pointed out over the holidays, it was very rude of him to point out this wisdom, but he said, for someone who fights so hard for others to see the worth in themselves, you sure do have a hard time seeing it yourself. And I was like, you are a jerk and I don't appreciate being attacked. Merry Christmas to you, sir. I will talk to you next year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And never talk to him again.
Nah. I'm just kidding. Except I spent like 2.5 hours on the phone with him on Saturday. But so he's still, I keep going to the well. He's got a lot of wisdom. I do want to talk about the quiz, the results. I love the self-improvement, self-acceptance. Can we even discuss growth leadership without a 2x2 matrix?
Sure.
I don't think so. I think that there's a legal thing. So I've got my little
I know consultants and their 2x2s. Like, it's, you got to have one.
How else do we explain our ideas? It's consultant school 101.
You know, simplicity is powerful to help people in the very beginning. And then there's like all this complexity. But then on the other side is just profound simplicity.
It's simple, complex, and then simple again.
Yes.
Construction, deconstruction, reconstruction.
Yeah. That pattern shows up everywhere in nature.
It does. There's a great book by Richard Rohr called The Wisdom Tradition that discusses that pattern throughout basically all humanity and life in general. But you're so if you want to get nerdy, y-axis, self-improvement, low to high, x-axis, and somebody's plotting a graph right now with their calculator. Wrong tool, dude. Low to high self-acceptance, left to right. I ended up in this upper left-hand corner, pushing but pressured. But I'm curious if you can go through the four squares, and then we can talk about pushing but pressured or flowing and growing. I almost said glowing. And I think you should be open to a rewrite on that.
I like it. Now that you've said it out loud, I'm like, how
trademark.
Is that not?
I'm putting the trademark on that one, too. I'm just throwing
that
out.
And self-rejection.
Self-rejection.
I mean, you are on fire today, Kenny.
Well, I used to own a marketing agency, so like words are my thing.
Yeah.
Not really. There's a reason I don't do it anymore. But can you walk us through those four quadrants, like what they mean, how they might show up?
For sure. So the most common one actually is where you ended up, which is that pushing but pressured.
God, so I'm average?
You are special just like everyone else.
I'm going to borrow that.
That's a throwback, except I don't think we were recording when we talked about that. Or maybe we were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This podcast is just for the two of us. I don't even know if someone's listening.
We're just having a chat. That's perfect. That's what I would want. So pushing but pressured. Because high achievers are. I'm going to do this for real. I'm going to answer your question.
I believe you.
Okay. So high achievers, of course, they're high on self-improvement. Every high achiever that I know is always looking for that next level of growth. How can I grow? How can I improve? How can I be better? Mm-hmm. And so that's high on self-improvement. But lower on self-acceptance means that, like we talked about before, having difficulty celebrating accomplishments, right? Winning is sort of just expected. Or as soon as you've hit the milestone or the goal that you would maybe normally celebrate is exactly when you're already focused on the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. You're focused on the gap and not the gain. Those types of things. If you're in the pushing but pressured box quadrant, you're probably also somebody that struggles to accept compliments or praise. You might find yourself like deflecting, minimizing, or just doing whatever you can to like avoid it.
Yeah. I've gotten better at that, admittedly.
Good.
I've worked on that. I did have a mentor once who said, hey, don't stop defending somebody's comment or dismissing it. Just
let it
say,
in.
Say, hey, I needed to hear that. Or thank you so much for saying that. And like that be it.
Yeah.
It was a game changer.
Thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet. That's so nice. Thank you. Okay. So that is that pushing but pressured. I will talk about at a standstill now, which is low self-acceptance, low self-improvement. And so at a standstill or like stagnant. I don't see this one as often, but I do see it sometimes when somebody is maybe going through a bout of feeling particularly down. They've just had a major setback and they are internalizing it pretty heavily.
Gotcha.
So that's somebody who is, at least for now, very dependent on how is life going around me.
Mm-hmm.
And that determines if I'm going to feel good about myself. And they're in that stage of like struggling to get back on the horse, if you will.
Gotcha.
So they don't feel good about where they are, but they're also not taking any action or they're taking minimal action to really grow and improve.
Gotcha. Lost their sense of agency.
Yes. Yeah. Gotcha. And this is, I want you, if anybody does end up here when you take the quiz, like, see this very much as a temporary thing and something that you can choose your way out of. with this kind of awareness and with a self-acceptance practice.
That's comforting. Now,
comfortably stationary is high self-acceptance and low self-improvement. So this is every high achiever's fear when I first talk about self-acceptance. They're like, mm-hmm. So just don't do anything to get better or just become complacent.
Lazy.
And I will tell you, Kenny, guess how many people have gotten that result from my quiz takers?
7.
0.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm wondering if people who aren't focused on self-improvement would ever take your assessment.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a bias toward people being like up in the self-improvement, for sure. Like almost, because when I talk about it on a podcast like this, like, of course I focus on self-improvement. So yes, that's part of it. And I also think that when somebody's really high on self-acceptance, their likelihood of just like, I guess I'm just going to stop growing, that's not what happens. Mm. That is not what happens. I actually think that when somebody stops growing, that's a defense mechanism that has kicked in. It's not true self-acceptance. Mm. So there's still self-judgment at play. So you're right. There's 100% a bias in the sample of people who take my quiz, which, by the way, is just selfacceptancequiz.com. If your listeners are like, where do I get it? Perfect. Okay. And then the last one I'll talk about is the upper right. So this is high self-acceptance and high self-improvement. And that's flowing and growing, or flowing and glowing, as we might rewrite it to be.
Blessings.
And this is, so research is pretty clear, actually, that this is where people prosper the most. This is where you actually have the fastest growth. And so instead of it being what people fear, which is, if I accept myself, I'm going to stop growing. Actually, as soon as you accept yourself with all your flaws and imperfections and your talents and strengths, your growth journey accelerates and it's a lot more fun.
Is some of that because you're seeing the world and yourself more as it really is, like closer to reality?
Yeah. The more you have self-acceptance, the more you see the world as it is.
Which allows you to like have a more clear baseline and track progress. Like you're not faking things being better than they are, and you're not faking things being worse than they are, which is, mm-hmm. you know, what a lot of the high achievers you've described, including myself, prone to.
And when you truly feel good about yourself, like, so we're intrinsically motivated to grow as human beings. Mm-hmm. Like, and the book that I wrote, we talk about the fundamental human drivers. Yes, thank you. Thank you for holding up the book. We use the science of human behavior, right? And we apply this to the organizational context. And there's a bunch of, I know that you studied psychology too. So there are fundamental drivers. There are things that mm-hmm. every human being wants, like from birth. This is one of them. And that means mm-hmm. that it's hardwired into our DNA, all of us collectively as a species want to grow. And so when you hit a high degree of self-acceptance, that doesn't stop. Your desire for growth doesn't go anywhere. It's actually, you have more access to it. You're not having to overcome the emotional hurdle or the emotional mountain of self-judgment before you start to put your energy into like solving the problem or improving yourself.
That makes me think of the example of the monkey who puts his hand in the jar to grab the banana, and he can't ever pull the banana out so long as he keeps his hand like that. Is like sort of the banana is our growth. We can't access it so long as we hold on to our self-judgment. I'll use the clinical terms.
I don't even know if that's clinical. Self-rejection is lovely. It's just not what's in the quiz report. So
okay, we'll call it clinical. I will. Trademark.
Okay.
Hashtag trademark. But we can't grab hold of it. We're actually, it's a self-defeating mechanism is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. It just slows you down so much. I could share a quick story unless we were out of time. We might be out of time.
Share a story and then help us understand what's a baby step we could take in the next 24 hours with little to no money to move towards greater radical, some would say, self-acceptance.
All right. So I want you to just picture like two children at the batting cages. And one of them, the story's in our book too. So picture one named Joey, and he has lower self-acceptance. The pitch comes, he swings and he misses. He launches into self-judgment, and you can just watch this kid like starting to have a tantrum, right? His face gets red. His knuckles are like white gripping the bat, and he's so frustrated. And the coach is there trying to give him feedback and coaching. He can't even hear it. Like the coach is trying to jump in and like he can't even get Joey's attention because he's too busy like having his little fit. And then another pitch comes, but he's not even ready for it because he's still in his self-judgment.
Wow.
And life's always going to keep throwing you pitches, right? And now you compare it to this other child we call Jamal. Higher self-acceptance. Pitch comes. He misses it, just like Joey. But he doesn't launch into like the inner monologue of self-judgment. He's just open and ready for feedback. And so the coach says, hey, buddy, no problem. Just choke up on the bat a little bit and watch the ball. Don't be afraid to turn your head. Watch it make contact. He goes, okay. Pitch comes. He nails it. And so it takes so much energy for us to get through the self-judging that we go through when we're not in that self-accepting lens. And it's always going to slow you down and have a negative impact on people around you relative to your ability to simply say, oh, okay, I missed that. I missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
What can I learn? How can I grow?
Because if you're persistent in the self-judgment, self-rejection, you can get to the place where others don't even want to offer up feedback that could really help you, like help shortcut something. You could struggle with it for 2 months, or you could let somebody give you some advice and it take 2 days, right?
Yes.
To improve on something.
Absolutely.
There's so much here. There's more I'd love to dive into. Maybe a part two is in our future. But what's a baby step someone could take towards greater self-acceptance if they're listening to this and going, yeah, that's me. I want to get better. How can I get started? I won't be perfect, but what's the win that maybe I could get and celebrate for myself?
I'm going to double down on the taking credit. And there's others that I can share if you want me to give something different. But that practice, like every day, choose at least one thing to take credit for. Nothing too small to take credit for, but like what's one thing that you did today that is progress towards something that you feel good about?
Mm-hmm.
And in the moments when it feels hard to take credit for something is when it's the most important.
Dang.
Yeah.
Drop the mic. Actually, don't. These are expensive. Laura, thank you so much for spending some time and dropping some wisdom. There's a lot here that I think people can and should pay attention to. For all joking aside, if you want to be a high performer, a lot of what you've said, I think is not just good advice, but essential, at least in my experience. And I've already been helped by this conversation. So I'm going to celebrate that as a victory and maybe go get tacos or ice cream or something. Those are good. Yeah, I've just made myself really hungry. If somebody wanted to know more about you, more about your work, book, things like that, where would you send them?
So find me on LinkedIn. I think that's probably the best place. Tell me that you heard me here on Kenny's show if you want to connect. And then I'll be happy to answer questions or point you to whatever resources are valuable for you.
Awesome. And we will link up the quiz, so selfacceptancequiz.com. And then we'll also link up to the book wherever fine books are sold. I don't know if there's unfine books sold at a different store, but something
we don't worry about those.
We don't talk about them.
No.
Not at least not on air. Thank you so much for stopping by. I was about to turn that into a Ron Burgundy quote, but I'll leave that alone for now. Please, listeners, thank you so much for paying attention, for jumping in to this conversation. I hope it really helped you. I'm assuming it did if you stayed this long. But like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the right button is. One, that gives me feedback because I want to keep making these episodes to add value for you. I have fun with these, but I want you to enjoy them as well. And you never know if another leader could discover this just because you engaged with it. It helps with the algorithms and it shows up in different places, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Big Three. So helping another leader discover a free resource that could unlock their next step in their journey would just be something really good. It'll give you the warm and fuzzies. You won't know why, but that'll be why. So the next time you feel that way, just know it was because you engaged with the podcast. I don't know. That feels really self-serving, but I'm going to live with it. And you know what? I'm going to accept that that's where I am for right now. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.